Welcome to Coda Catch Up. My name is Jamie Jones, and today we're going to be talking about the Webpack 4 release, all the new features, what you need to know, and more. Okay, so if you're watching this, I do apologize for the mic in front of my face. I'm just trying to get better audio. I'm finding the lav mic isn't quite working super well. I'm just trying to get this whole video and audio version as one working together, and there's a few lookups there. So if you notice the audio hasn't been quite right, hopefully this will make it a lot better. Going back to the Yeti, I am going to be trying to put this on a boom or something so it's a bit more out of the way, but hopefully you'll find the audio a lot better in this now. So anyway, getting on with it. What I'm going to go through is the notes here from Sean Larkin, which is on Medium. I've got a link in the show notes to the Medium article, and I highly recommend reading that because there is some supplemental articles that's linked from this post, and you're going to get a lot of information from that as well. So, all right, what I'm going to do is just go over all the features. If you've listened to one of these podcasts before, I'm talking about a release announcement, giving my thoughts and things like that, reading from the release notes. So, first of all, Webpack 4 has been released, and it's on the 25th of February, and this is a pretty major release, and there's some great features in it that I think it's been not something I've been waiting for, a necessity, but certainly something that has been a great evolution and an expected kind of evolution of the project itself, so it's good to see what they come up with here. So first of all, they've given it a code name. So the first name is Legato. So what they're saying is we wanted to start a new tradition by giving each of our major releases a code name. Therefore, we decided to give this privilege to our largest open collective sponsor, Trivago. So basically, they reached out to Trivago, and this is what their response. So at Trivago, we usually give our projects a name with a musical theme. For example, our old JavaScript framework was called Harmony. Our new framework is Melody. On the PHP side, we use Symphony with a layer on top called Orchestra. So Legato means to play each note in sequence without gaps. Now, Webpack bundles our entire front-end app together without gaps, JavaScript, CSS, and more. So we believe that Legato is a good fit for Webpack. And that's from Patrick at Trivago Engineering. And I just want to say hats off to Trivago from, you know, sponsoring and really helping, because I think they've been sponsoring this for like a year. I'm sure there's something here about that. Thank you so much to Trivago for this incredible year of sponsorship and for naming Webpack 4. So nice to see that. It's great to see companies getting behind projects and making sure that they can live on and make maintenance and development a lot easier on someone by providing some financial support, whether it's for a single person or a team. So it's really nice to see that. Hats off, Trivago. All right, so getting in with what's new. So Webpack 4 is fast, up to 98% faster. Now, there was a poll put out back when it was in beta, and the results were pretty incredible. I'm sure they've improved even more since the beta. So what they're saying here is we were seeing interesting reports of build performance from the community testing our beta. So I shot out a poll so we could verify our findings. And some of these findings were pretty amazing, you know, from 60% to 98%. That's a huge improvement in build time. So, for example, there's one here that says Webpack 3, so from cold, 110 seconds. Then the second time that the build was run, 90 seconds. The second one, Webpack 4 Beta 2, it goes from cold, 52 seconds, already a pretty big gain, down to the second time, 12 seconds. Like, that is a huge improvement in build time, like massive. So that's really good to see that there. And they're saying here, this also gave us the opportunity to identify some key blocking bugs in loaders and plugins that have since now been fixed. P.S. We haven't implemented multi-core or persistent caching yet, slated for version 5. So this means that there's still lots of room for improvement. Like, when that comes in, build times, you're not going to be able to blink and it's done. Massively incredible. So hats off to all the work that's been done on that. That's incredible. Build time, waiting around for things to build is one of those punishing things. Even though, you know, you think maybe a minute isn't too long, it adds up. The next thing which I really love, which is mode, zero config JavaScript, and sensible defaults. So what they got here, so they've introduced a new property for the configuration called mode, and that has the options of development or production. Now production is the default, so maybe let it take that in a bit. Production is the default mode, and I quite like this mode. It's very different from what you might be used to, which is most projects will default whatever to development, and you have to explicitly set production. Now, I find this is really great for someone who's new to coming into JavaScript in general and want to start working with a builder tool like Webpack, or if someone who is new to deploying a project and making sure that production build is set, or production flag is set for the build, because you do see performance gains when you're running production, whereas development will generally run things where it's a bit slower and you get more data out to your console, and you might be getting information that you don't want to go out in production, and that's handled by those flags. So this just makes it a lower barrier to entry. And worst case scenario, if you notice you're not getting the feedback you need or something like that, you can always check the build and switch it back to development if you're working locally. So I think it's a better trade-off and a better default. I think it's more sensible just to prevent those issues in production, because it does happen a lot and it can catch people out whether you're experienced or not. It's like, why is this running slow? Oh, I forgot to set the production build. It happens. So yeah, I think it's a nice default they've got in there. And there is a supporting article about mode and optimization. In addition, entry output are both defaulted. This means you don't need a config to get started. And with mode, you'll see your configuration files get incredibly small, as we are doing most of the heavy lifting for you now. With all these things, we now have a platform of zero config that we want you to extend. One of Webpack's most valuable feature is that we are deeply rooted in extensibility. That they are, and it's great. It's just been a bit harder with all the config that was there. This makes it a lot easier. So who are we to define what your zero config JavaScript looks like? When we finish the design and release of our Webpack presets design, this means you can extend zero config JavaScript to be unique and perfect for your workflow, company, or even community framework. So things like create React app, etc. Next thing is goodbye Commons chunk plugin. So we have deprecated and removed Commons chunk plugin and replaced it with a set of defaults and easily overwritable API called optimize.splitChunks. Now, out of the box, you have shared chunks automatically generated for you in a variety of scenarios. There is a video, highly recommend watching that little video. It's a good one to explain that there. But basically, it's just going along and showing that you're getting code splitting into chunks for you automatically and in a lot easier fashion when you want to work with the API. So good to see there. Next up is WebAssembly support. So Webpack now by default supports import and export of any local WebAssembly module. This means that you can also write loaders that allow you to import Rust, C++, C, and other WebAssembly hostlang files directly. This is going to be great for a lot of plugin providers, I reckon, especially people who are building things with like Rust, because it's quite common now. That's really good to see that in there. Next up is module types introduced plus MJS support. So historically, JavaScript has been the only first-class module type in Webpack. This caused a lot of awkward pains for users where they would not be able to effectively have CSS/HTML bundles. We have completely abstracted the JavaScript specifically from our code base to allow for this new API. Currently built, we now have 5 module types implemented. JavaScript Auto, which is the default one in Webpack 3, so that's JavaScript module with all module systems enabled, CommonJS, AMD, ESM, so the ECMAScript stuff. Next is JavaScript ESM, so that's ECMAScript modules. All other module systems are not available, and that's the default for .mjs files. JavaScript Dynamics, so only CommonJS and AMD. ECMAScript modules are not available. And then JSON, which is JSON data. It's available via require and import, and it's the default for .json files. And then under the experimental section is WebAssembly/experimental, which is WebAssembly modules, currently experimental, and the default for .wasm files or .wasm files. So in addition, Webpack now looks for the .wasm, .mjs, .js, and .js extensions in that particular order for resolution. So it's important to know that there is a particular resolution order when you're working with your Webpack configuration and what you're acquiring and importing, etc. So important one to note there. Next up, which this is a really important one, which it might be fixed by the time this episode goes out, but if you use the HTML Webpack plugin, which I've used it a bit in the past, for this release, we gave the ecosystem a month to upgrade any plugins or loaders to use the new Webpack 4 APIs. However, Jan Nicholas, hopefully I'm pronouncing your name right, Jan, sorry if I'm not, has been away with work obligations, and therefore we have provided a patch fork of HTML Webpack plugin, and they've got a command there that you can run to use the patch fork, and then you can always switch it back once the actual HTML Webpack plugin has been updated. Basically, if you own other plugins and loaders, you can see our migration guide. So the Create a Full Migration Guide. Again, I really highly recommend checking out this article because it's got a lot of supplemental articles off it that will go through these things more in depth that you can peruse at your leisure. And they're saying there's a lot more there, and the changelog is quite massive. It's pretty big. I highly recommend checking out too, just so you can understand what's being put into the release. But one of the things is the docs. Now, as I'm reading this, or as I was reading this the other day, version 4 docs are still coming. There's a lot to be done there, so hopefully they'll come soon, but you know, just give it some time. It will be coming. There's a lot of work being put into docs, and documentation does take a fair bit of time, so it'll be coming. Hopefully you can just work off some of the source as well as some of the examples that have been put out. So until then, that's what you've got to work with. And they're saying, what about whatever frameworks CLI? So over the past 30 days, we have worked closely with each of the frameworks to ensure that they are ready to support Webpack 4 in their respective CLIs. Even popular libraries like Lodash, ES, RxJS are supported, supporting the side effects flag. So by using their latest version, you'll see an instant bundle size decreases out of the box. Angular CLI team, they even plan on shipping their next major version, which as of this article, it was approximately a week away, using Webpack 4. So they're going to default there. And I'm sure Create React app under the hood will be switching that as well in the not too distant future. But that's essentially it. That's all I really got for this one. I'd love to know your thoughts. Have you tried out Webpack 4 yet? Have you done the upgrade via the beta or the full version? I'd love to know your thoughts on that. You can leave a comment on codecatchup.com this episode if you're listening to this in iTunes. If you're watching on YouTube, please leave a comment in the comment section below. You can send through a tweet to @codecatchup on Twitter or send through an email to codecatchup@gmail.com. Also, if you are watching this on YouTube, a like and subscribe would be awesome. Also, if you want to be notified when these come out, please click the little bell icon wherever it is on your screen. You'll be notified as soon as these videos come out. But other than that, that's all I really got for this one, and we'll catch you in the next one. Bye.